Let's pray together. Now, Lord, I pray that you would take a timeless message, a familiar message, and you would cause it to sink in deep into our hearts, that we might comprehend your love, that we might marvel at the mystery. We thank you for the gift, truly the greatest gift that this planet has ever known. And we pray that we would be satisfied in that gift. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's my hope that as you listen to the story of Christmas over the next few weeks, several weeks until Christmas, that you will not be bored with the Christmas story, even though you've heard it time and time again. It never gets old, or it shouldn't. So that's my hope in this series. In 2017, last year, 50 Nobel laureates were surveyed, and they were asked this question: what is the biggest threat to humankind in your view? What's the biggest threat to humankind in your view? And 34% said population rise or environmental degradation because of that. 23% said nuclear war. Did I spell something wrong? Okay. People are kind of smiling and laughing like, what happened? 8% said infectious disease. 8%, which probably got it, should have been a lot higher number. Selfishness, dishonesty, and loss of humanity, whatever that means. 6% said Donald Trump, actually by name. I'm American, thank you. And ignorant leaders like possibly him. And then 4% said artificial intelligence. So some of the answers from some of what some people might call the smartest people on the planet, that these are the things that are most concerning to our planet. If you went along the streets of Hong Kong and you asked people, what is mankind's greatest need? What do you think people would say? Maybe people would say things like world peace. Or maybe people would say we need better economics, defined as I need more money in my pocket. Or we need more development. You know, if we just develop, I don't know if you realize it or not, but if we just develop society more, then all things will be much better. Or maybe we need better government, like they said, better leaders. Are all these things the greatest threat to mankind? Are all of these things what mankind needs the most in 2018? Almost 2019. I talked to someone the other day for quite a long time, and as I talked to them, it seemed to me as I talked to them that they think that what we all really need is just a better version of ourselves. We just all need to be a little bit better, better counseling, or as he put it, better mindfulness, learning how to maybe live in the moment better, or we need to be fixed. And the best way to be fixed is to find each of us the better version of ourselves. Well, up against all of those things, we have this book. We have the Bible. Very old book, but a timeless book. And we have its message. What are the Bible's answers to the greatest questions of life? What would the Bible say is the greatest need of mankind? It's Christmas time. It's that time of the year where the world celebrates a season. Even though they may not believe in the God of the season, many people are clueless or even opposed to the real message of the season, opposed to the Christ of Christmas. Who was Jesus? Why was he born? Why does it even matter? And what does he say about mankind and life's problems? So this week we're in Matthew chapter 1. Next week we'll be in Luke chapter 1. And then we'll be in John chapter 1. Looking at the greatest gift that God has ever given the world, Jesus Christ. So in Matthew chapter 1, if you have a Bible, let's turn there. Who is this man? And why is he important? And why does the whole world celebrate Christmas even if they don't celebrate Christ? Or why do we celebrate Christmas would be the better question. In the first pages, if you look in Matthew chapter 1, now we were just in the Minor Prophets, and the Minor Prophets just go right into Matthew chapter 1, and here we have this phrase. In verse 1, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, son of Abraham. It's not on the screen, The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And then we get this long list of names. If you look in your Bible, you'll say, yeah, I don't know why all of that is even there. Probably, if we'll all be honest, when we get to those places in the Bible, we skip all of it. But it's actually there for a reason, for a couple of reasons. What's the purpose? What's the purpose of all of these names and Jesus Christ? Probably more, much more important in Chinese culture than the culture I come from. Number one, we see that Jesus is in the lineage of Abraham, and Jesus is in the lineage of King David. That needed to be the case. It needed to be the case because the ancient prophecies all throughout the Bible talked about this coming deliverer, this coming savior, this coming king who's going to come, and he was going to be in the line, the ancestry of Abraham and David. So it had to be the case. So what Matthew is showing us here, number one, is he's showing us, look, Jesus is the one. Jesus is the one that the Bible has been talking about. You see, he says, son of David. He's the ancestor of David, direct line. He's an ancestor of Abraham. And then we have the second reason that we see in all of these names is we see a long list of people. And if you really look at that list closely, and I'm not just talking about the women's names in there, but if you look at the names of the men in there, you have a long list of really wicked people. A long list of a lot of people where if you read the Old Testament, you see that they weren't perfect people. But we come to verse 18. Look in your Bible, Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. We come to verse 18, and what do we see? We have this word. Now, actually the Greek is very much translated, but the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. He's different. What Matthew is showing is that somebody, this Jesus is different. He's not like the rest of these people. We want to read this account of the birth of Jesus. I want to read it again, and starting in verse 18. It'll be on the screen. Now the birth of Jesus took place in this way, when his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, legally engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. We see from the very beginning that Jesus' birth is not like any other birth. Now, you may say, yeah, we all know this, but this is foundational to our faith. It's foundational to our faith that Jesus Christ was not born the same way all of us were. There's a woman named Mary. She's legally engaged to be married to a guy named Joseph. And this Joseph is in the line of King David and King Abraham, as we saw. But this isn't a pretty little story, as we all know. We're all aware. We see this in verse 18. Because Mary is found to be with child before she's married. It's not Joseph's baby. And if it was Joseph's baby, it would still be a pretty big deal in that day. Not today. This account of Jesus' birth in Matthew is screaming at us, this baby is unique. This baby and this birth is unique. Number one, I want you to see twice in here, it says that Jesus was born of the Holy Spirit. Go on. Go the other direction. Use that button. Jesus is born of the Holy Spirit. Before they came together, she was found to be with child, verse 18 says, from the Holy Spirit. So the angel confirms this to comfort and redirect Joseph because Joseph is going to divorce her because something has happened. And the angel says, don't fear to take your wife, in verse 20, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. So twice in this passage, it says, this birth is from the Holy Spirit. R.C. Sproul says this, we have in Jesus not simply the birth of a baby, but the incarnation of God. The Holy Spirit is how it came to be, the second person of the Trinity becoming human flesh. So every single baby that has ever been born is a miracle. If you know that, just any baby that is going to be born is a miracle that it even happens. But this baby is born by supernatural means. Can't be explained by science. It has to be believed by faith. But it had to be this way. Why did Jesus, number one, have to be born of the Holy Spirit? Why did Jesus have to not be fully human? Because if Jesus had Joseph as his father, and Jesus had Mary as his mother, if they were his biological parents, he would have been a sinner. And all human beings are sinners. But he could not be born that way. But this is God becoming human flesh. His birth is miraculous, and his birth is tied to his purpose. So number one, Jesus is born of the Holy Spirit. Number two, Jesus came for a reason, and Jesus came to save people from sin. Verse 21 is where we're going to be most of the time. Quickly, look what it says. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Actually, the Greek, the reason I'm emphasizing that is because what the angel says is an imperative. The angel says in strong language, you shall call his name Jesus. That must be his name. Why? Because Yeshua, Joshua, means Yahweh saves. His name is tied to his purpose. Without this verse 21, the celebration of Christmas is just a big fanfare to eat and give each other a bunch of stuff. Verse 21 is what puts the Christ into Christmas. Without this verse, we have a Christ-less Christmas. Notice that this is the reason why Jesus is born. The reason. And it says, for he will save his people from their sins. Toward the end of the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, we have Jesus' purpose from his own lips. Matthew 20, 28, look what Jesus says. Even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He came, why did he come? To give his life as a ransom for many. So in the rest of our time, I want to ask a couple of questions. I want to ask a couple of questions about this text, that Jesus came to save people from their sins. And I want us to see how great this gift is of Jesus Christ. Question number one, if Jesus came to save, knowing what the word save means, what did he come to save people from? Saved in the dictionary means this, to keep safe or to rescue someone or something from harm or danger. Okay? So we know that. The man ran into the building and saved the dog, or the man ran into the building and saved the people from the fire. To save. Well, is mankind in danger? In danger of what? Or needs to be rescued from what? Well, we only have to go to the Bible to find our answers. John 3:16, what does it say? God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Saved from what? Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already. So what did Jesus come to save us from? He came to save us from what? John 3:16 says he came to save us from perishing. John 3:17 says he came to save us from condemnation. Well, that's a very nice message, Pastor. Not very Christmassy to talk about these things. But you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. To save from what? To save from sins, to save from perishing, to save from condemnation. Someone might say, as people do all the time, if you have conversations at all with people who are not Christians and you talk to them at all about the message of the Bible, about the message of Jesus Christ, you will hear people say things like, I'm not a sinner. I'm a good person. I make mistakes like the rest of us, but it's kind of harsh to say I'm a sinner. What have I ever done to God? Pretty good person. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 says this, none is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good. Not even one. So you see, we might say, well, you know, in my culture, we believe that people are good. Well, the Bible says that none of us are born good. We're all born with sin. Romans 3:23. You should know this in your head. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Who does all include? All is all-inclusive. Every single person who has ever been born and who has ever lived that was fully human has sinned. Except for one, he wasn't fully human. And that's why we celebrate Christmas. Romans 5:12. Sin came into the world through one man. That's Adam. Sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin. And so death spread to all men because all sinned. Romans 6:23. You know this verse as well. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift, the greatest gift, of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So question number one is this. Jesus came to save. What did he come to save us from? He came to save us from sin and the consequences of sin. But don't miss the good news for me talking about all of us have sinned, is that there is a free gift through Jesus Christ. Question number two, how did he save us? How did Jesus rescue us? How did he save us? I mentioned before in Matthew 20:28 what Jesus said, even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to do what? Give his life. Give his life as a ransom for many. I was thinking about this week because Piper's 15, and sometimes people have conversations, or I have conversations with students, and we ask people questions all the time, like, you know, what do you plan to do with your life? People are like, well, I plan to maybe go be an engineer, plan to go to medical school, or I'm planning on maybe joining the Air Force and being a pilot or something like that. Can you imagine asking Jesus that question when he was young? 18-year-old Jesus? Hey, Jesus, what do you think? You know, surely someone asked him, Jesus, what do you plan to do when you grow up? What do you plan to be? I plan to be murdered on a cross outside of town to pay for people's sins. That's what I plan to do when I grow up. 1 Peter chapter 2 says this. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed. Glorious truth. Hebrews 9:26. He has appeared, meaning you could say he was born for this purpose, once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Jesus Christ appeared to save people from their sins, Matthew 1 tells us, by giving himself, we know in the rest of the book, as a sacrificial payment for them. It was a trade-off. He took the punishment. They got the forgiveness and eternal life. He took the wounds. They get righteousness. Why would he do that? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about that? Why in the world would he do that? You do know that he did not have to. There was nothing actually compelling that God had to do it. He would have been right and just to not do that. So why did he do it? Why did he come? John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that he sent his Son. Love. This love of God so compelling him to do this. The wisdom of God devised a way for the love of God to deliver sinners from the wrath of God while upholding the righteousness and holiness of God. Scripture says, you will call his name Jesus. Why? For he will save his people from their sins. So question number one, save from what? Save from sins and the punishment of sin. See, you see, Jesus didn't come just to make us better. Jesus didn't come just to improve us or repair us and make us a better version of ourselves. He came to deliver us from ourselves. Question number two, how did he do it? He gave his life as a payment. He died on the cross. What was the words? You remember John the Baptist when he first saw Jesus coming? You remember what he said? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Last question for us this morning, question number three. Scripture says, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. What does it mean by that? You ever thought about that? It doesn't say everybody, it says his people. Does that mean just the Jews? Does that mean just Americans? Does that mean what? What does it mean, his people? Who does he mean by that? Those who will believe. Those who will believe in Jesus Christ, his people. We're not universalists. Not every single person is going to be saved in the whole world. There are some who will reject Christ. There are some who will embrace Christ. John 3:16 again tells us, whoever believes in him, whoever believes in him will be saved. Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. Last verse, Isaiah 55. Really want you to think about this verse. Yeah, I'm using an Old Testament passage. Listen to this. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come, buy, and eat. How do you come and buy and eat if you had no money? Because it's free. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Look diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live. That's good news. That's the best news in the world. Because the whole world is spending their money and spending their labor on that which does not satisfy. And right now, in this season, the whole world, whoever celebrates Christmas, will spend their money and their labor and their time for things that don't satisfy. And the greatest gift is Jesus Christ, and that's the reason why we celebrate Christmas. Jesus Christ has already come. He's already died on the cross. He's already rose again. And there's still time to believe and be saved. There's still time. The question is, will you be one of his people? Will you be one of his people? Are you one of his people? or not. Believe, receive the greatest gift the world has ever known. What the world needs most is not more money. We don't need better development. We don't need better leaders. Oh yeah, we need some of those things. You know, we need some of those things, but those aren't the most important things that we need. What we mostly need is to embrace Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and be saved from our sins. Some of you today might be laboring, like the verse in Isaiah says, you might be laboring hard with all of your energy for that which does not satisfy. You might be laboring with all that you have, and you find yourself frustrated because you can't seem to be happy. Maybe you're looking in the wrong place. Well, you are looking in the wrong place. If I only had that this Christmas, I'd be happy. I want to encourage you, find your satisfaction if you're a Christian. Find your satisfaction in Jesus Christ alone. There's not anything you could receive that's going to make you any more happy if you're satisfied in Jesus. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for the greatest gift, and that is the gift of salvation in Christ. Thank you, God, that no matter what might happen to me today, I know that the best days are ahead. Thank you that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you that you are changing us every day, that we've been saved, but we are being saved every day. We're being made more and more into your likeness as you prune and cut and shave off areas of our lives and make us more like Jesus. And thank you that one day we will be completely saved when we're done with this body and done with sin. Lord, I pray that you would supernaturally help all of our church this season to rehearse the truths of the gospel and the incarnation over and over, and that we would relish in it. We would adore it, and we would worship. We pray in Christ's name.